Christ on this first Sunday of Advent. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the prophecy of Isaiah that we've heard this morning. And we hear in this prophecy, it shall come to pass in the latter days. And here, Isaiah prophesying as God inspired him, not only to our Lord's first coming, but also to his second coming. This morning, we focus upon the first, when Jesus came as that little babe in Bethlehem. And so we hear these words, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." And then later in this reason, we hear "come" again. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Advent, the season of comings, and here God is giving the directive to you and me to come. And we focus upon those directives of the Lord this morning. You know, in our culture today, there is something that we as Christians have in common with the unbelieving world during this season of the year. Everybody, or most people, are making preparations, right? Whether it be preparation for gift giving, you know, what are we going to give, which gift to which person? Or maybe it's preparation for big family gatherings that are coming up. And certainly families, as spread out as they are, oftentimes there's two or three, maybe four Christmas celebrations with different family when they can come. And all of that takes preparation, right? And generally, if you're like me and have a hard time memorizing a lot of things, what do? You begin to write things down. You make out a list of, boy, I don't want to forget anything. I don't want to forget one of the gatherings or what we need to do. So I'm just going to write out a list, and here it is, and I can begin checking things off of that list. A time of preparation. But oh, so much deeper for you and for me, blessed to be God's children, as we prepare not only for the celebration of this season, but we prepare our hearts and minds to be in the right place with the Lord in this celebration. And so throughout these Advent Sundays, the theme is going to be serious preparation. And each week we'll focus on a little bit different facet of what this preparation looks like. And this morning it's making a list. And I would ask everyone this morning, are you as focused in your spiritual journey and your spiritual preparation for the celebration of our Lord's birth as you are for all of the other activities that go on during this season? And that's a really important question for all of us to ponder here this morning, because in the busyness of the culture that we live in and all the traditions that exist, it can be very easy even for us as Christians to lose sight of the main thing, to get caught up in all the other stuff, and to really miss how deep this season really is spiritually as we prepare for our Lord's coming and as we look forward to that time when he will return again. Well, ironically, God really makes it easy for us. We don't even have to think about what the list should be in this serious preparation. But he lays out the list for us, and it's this call, it's this invitation that we hear from the prophet Isaiah, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, meaning to go to the temple, which is the church. And so that represents the church today, not a physical place necessarily, although that's part of it as we gather here, but it's centered around our Lord and his presence and his truth and the blessings to know him and to grow in our understanding of him. And then also, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. But let us focus on this first one that the Lord gives. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us His ways. So this is where God starts the list, is that we're in His Word, that we are gleaning from His Word His ways, so that we know God's will. And the only source and foundation of truth is God. And how blessed we are, dear Christian brothers and sisters, that we have the Word of God in our language, that we can open the Bible and know fully with confidence when we begin to read the Bible, God is speaking directly to you and me. It is His Word that He has preserved for all time, and He's put it in writing for us. And so God wants us to know His Word well, so that when we walk this journey of faith in the midst of all kinds of different belief systems, teachings, philosophies, that we can filter everything that's coming into our mind, that we can filter it through God's Word, that we can tell if this is of God or whether it is not. It's interesting that when people begin to stray away from the Word, they begin to stray away from worship, and they begin to stray away from God Himself, to forsake God Himself. And so it shouldn't surprise us that the Lord directs us first and foremost to be people that are in His Word, that He may teach us His ways. Now, it's interesting, the context of these words. This sounds pretty upbeat and positive, right? But it's in the midst of God bringing some very harsh words to His people of Israel in that day. In Isaiah chapter 1, for instance, verses 2 through 4, we hear God saying these things to His people. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. And then it's interesting what God says here. The ox knows its owner. Isn't that interesting? An ox, it knows its owner. The donkey knows its master's crib. So simple animals, beasts of burden, they know. But Israel, God says, does not know. My people do not understand. And then God says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, they have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Wow, that's pretty harsh language, wouldn't you say? And God isn't talking to the unbelieving world here, but He's talking to the church. And it's very harsh words because God's people have strayed away. And how did that begin? They forsook the truth of God. They just laid God's truth aside and said, God, we got a better way. Thank you very much. We don't need you anymore. Sad, isn't it? And then God goes on to say through Isaiah in chapter 2, for you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from the east of the fortune tellers like the Philistines. Now that's very interesting. So here's God's people who had been given God's word, and they've laid God's word aside, and now they're going after fortune tellers. Tell me what the truths of life are. Tell me what's going to happen in the future, because I know you as a fortune teller, you've got it all together. God's word, not so much. Isn't that sad? That's how bad things were in the church in Isaiah's day. And then God goes on to say their land is filled with silver and gold. From a worldly perspective, it's like, wow, this is going to be the best Christmas ever. There is so much silver and gold, we don't know what to do with all of these material blessings. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is also, God said, filled with idols. And so from a worldly perspective, they are prospering. Spiritually, they're virtually dead. And now they've laid aside God altogether. They're going after psychics and fortune tellers and other sources of information. And it shouldn't surprise us now, their land is filled with idols. Now think about that in the context of where you and I live today. I mean, it sounds rather familiar, doesn't it? And so we must be very cautious and look upon this seriously, that we do not get lured in as God's people of old did. When people forsake God's word, when they forsake going to worship Him, there will become a void. And guess who's going to fill the void? It's going to be an idol of some kind. And what is an idol? It's anything that we place in a position of superiority over God in our lives. And you know your vulnerabilities in that area, and I know mine in my life as well. Oh, the context of our times. As a kid, I remember seeing nativity scenes on the public square. And now we can't do that anymore, right, as a nation. So the nativity scenes have been taken away. And of course, people in the workplace, Christians, have been told, you cannot say Merry Christmas. You can say Happy Holiday, which is kind of comical because holiday comes from Holy Day. So unbeknownst to them, the Lord's still there. But can't say Merry Christmas. Had a member the other day that was told that where he works, and he says, you know what? I'm going to say Merry Christmas, and good for him. But it's the culture that you and I are living in. And then you look at the displays of wealth, and you see the proficient spending throughout this season. It's just crazy. We just got away from Black Friday, right? I don't know what the results were this year. I heard extremely high. But this season has become very twisted. It's become not a season of giving, but it's really a season of demanding. This is what I want. And our society feeds on that. But see what happens when, as a nation, the Word of God is pushed away? Something fills the void, and we see it. But the concerning thing is the church. Do we get lured into this? Or do we stand firm? And the only way we can stand firm is by the Lord's invitation. Come that He may teach us His ways. In other words, to be people of the Word. To be people of worship. Because we cannot go this road alone. If you think for a minute you can do this on your own, apart from the Word, apart from being in worship, it's not happening. Satan and his influence, our sinful flesh and its influence are too strong. Only God can enable us to overcome these things. And so God looks out for our well-being, and He gives us this directive. And so He wants to teach us His ways. Why? That we may then walk in His paths. So without knowing the Word of God, we're not going to know God's will. We're not even going to have faith. But through the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, right? The power of the Word through baptism, we all know it because we've received that blessed gift from God. And in that, God has changed our hearts. He has brought us to the truth through His Word. And in that, He has created with you and within you and me a desire to do His will. He empowers us to have that desire within us. And what does that lead to but a godly life? A life that is focused where God wants our focus to be, on Him and the blessings that He provides. Wow. Quite a different starting point, wouldn't you say, as we make serious preparations for the celebration of our Lord's birth. And so God's list prepared for you. Number one, be in My Word. Number two, come and worship me. And number three, be about my business. It's a very simple list. But I'd like you really to write that down if you got somewhere to write it. Number one, be in my word. Number two, be in worship. Number three, be about my business. Wow, what a list. And what an honor to know that that is God's will for us, and he empowers us to have the desire to do that and to strive to fulfill and check off, if you will, that list. And you know, what does that kind of look like then? Well, if you can't have a nativity scene on the public square, have it in your yard. Have it in your yard. You can do anything in your yard. And in your Christmas decorations, make a clear message of Christ in that. What a beautiful way to give testimony. And certainly, what an opportune season to have dialogue with people. You know, how do you see this season? What's it all about? Well, let me share my perspective with you. Or use the abundance of wealth that God provides in our nation and maybe among us here for his purposes. And number, you know, another one on the list is the focus on giving. It's all about giving by God's design. And then to hear the other invitation that the Lord gives, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. Last week we talked about darkness, I think the last couple weeks, and now we have the light of the Lord. The Advent wreath is such a beautiful reminder to us that we have the light of the Lord in our lives. And so we know what God has revealed in his word. And we are so blessed to walk in this course knowing how God has revealed himself. And to be able to screen out the false teachings, to be able to see the darkness, because that's what light does. It exposes the darkness. So to know how God thinks and to know God's desire for us for living and so that we leave that place of sin and we turn to the light of Christ and we strive to follow that light wherever the Lord lives. Leads us. And certainly, what a witness that is. You know, really what we do is a more powerful witness oftentimes than what we say, right? Not taking away the power of the word, that changes hearts, but our lifestyle is a witness or should be in and of itself. And so, what are the greatest gifts we can give? As we think about this list, and we're making out the list of gifts that we want to give, wouldn't the greatest be the gift of salvation? Now, we don't have the power to do that, but we are the messenger. We are in the honorable position of being the Lord's messenger, or you could imagine maybe in your tradition, some of the little kids get to look for the gifts under the Christmas tree, right? And they look for the name on the gift, and they run and they get it, and they're all excited, and they bring it to the person who's receiving that gift. That's who you and I are with the gift of salvation. It's really awesome that God puts you and me in this marvelous position. And think about how that is life-changing for eternity. A lot of the gifts we receive, we don't even remember what they are from last year. But the consistent gift of salvation, we rejoice in every day. And of course, share God's love. As we heard in the epistle reading this morning, love sums up all the commandments. To share that agape, sacrificial love in a world of hatred and division and darkness. What a bright light. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how is your list looking? Take it seriously. Maybe later today, just have some quiet time, prayerful time with the Lord and say, God, I want to serve you in this season. And Lord, just reveal to me the details of what this looks like for me this Advent season. But what I would encourage is make a list of the unchurched that you know. and begin to pray for them. And pray that God would open up opportunities for you to witness to them. Invite them to church. That's not a hard thing to do. As with Isaiah, come, let us go. Hey, come with us. We'd love to have you here. Hear about the real meaning of this marvelous season. We are blessed to live in the latter days as this prophecy begins. We're living in the fulfillment. Jesus has come as that little babe in Bethlehem. We know the history of Jesus going to the cross, our bloodied and beaten Savior, and Jesus declaring to the world of all time, "It is finished." We know the joy of Easter. We know that our Lord died, but yes, He rose again. And we know that He ascended and that He is King. We are so blessed to live in the latter days. Top of our list is to get that message out. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us to know Him and honored us to give testimony of Him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.